You'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I think it's more of the idea of like, if there is just us, like, what does that mean about God? What does that mean about, like, the afterlife? What is that? It's, like, the implications of us being alone in the universe.
But, like, that, like, I'm fine with that.
Makes me think about it, I guess. But, like, are you scared about the idea of dying? Like, really thinking about dying?
Well, okay, I don't know. We're getting really deep. Welcome to the Naked Beauty Podcast. This is my guest, Lucy Zay here. Just jump right in.
<It's all dark. laughs>
So, Lucy is joining. Is this your first podcast ever?
I think so, yeah.
Oh my gosh, it's very exciting. You recently got a promotion, so let me say your new title correctly. You are the Senior Manager of Vogue Social Media?
Yeah.
Amazing. And so you do Vogue Runway, I know.
I actually do Vogue Magazine now.
So you do Vogue Magazine and Vogue Runway.
Are you primarily Vogue Magazine, you've been bumped, yeah. Runway too, yeah.
Devil Wears Prada was on last night.
Was it really?
Yes, and that's one of the movies
The number one question that we get is, oh my God, is it like
Devil Wears Prada?
Yeah.
And you're like, yeah, it's worse. But better also in a lot of ways.
The movie is a fiction based on Life at the Office.
Yes, yes. But, I mean, that essential line, a million girls would kill for this job, still, I'm sure, holds true, right? I mean, it's like kind of one of the things that allows you to keep your competitive edge.
Yeah, I guess that's true. I mean, the job definitely itself is a great job to have. And I think that you get a lot. The number one thing that you get access to here is just incredible talent. And the team that we work with is the best of the best. And we work with the best of the best. That's right. Something that is enviable for sure.
Yes. And so for people listening, Lucy and I worked together at Ralph Lauren.
Yep.
Did social
together. In the trenches together.
Literally in the trenches.
Literally sat across from each other.
But you, I feel like, so one of the reasons why I really wanted to interview you for the show is because you have one of the things I'm, like, most jealous of, which is a signature beauty look.
Thank you.
So, like, okay, Karl Lagerfeld, Anna Wintour, like, what do they have in common? You could draw a cartoon character of them. Like, if I had to draw a cartoon character of you, it'd be, like, pretty easy. It'd be, like, okay, really, like, symmetrical, perfect haircut with, like,
Thank you. Blonde highlights
and then, like, black winged liner. Like, you have your signature beauty look.
Thank you. That's very flattering. It's funny, though, that you say that because I've never really been, like, obsessed with beauty, or I feel like it kind of just happened. I didn't really sit down and think about it, if that makes sense. Like, I wasn't like, oh, this is going to be my thing.
Yes.
It just sort of became my thing.
How long have you been doing the, like, so you have, how would you describe your haircut?
My haircut has actually have several iterations, but definitely it started with getting bangs. So
yes.
I got bangs. Sort of a funny story. I got bangs totally on accident, mostly because of miscommunication. I was in Krakow, Poland.
Oh my God.
Krakow, right?
Yeah, I think that's right.
Okay, anyway. And we were studying abroad, we were broke as hell, and we literally just spent all our money on trips every single weekend. And so we were doing a walking tour because they're free. And we're like, gosh, like, our feet are so tired. And I know this is, like, first world problems, but, like, our feet are really tired. And, like, I really need a haircut because I haven't had a haircut in several months. And we noticed a hair salon. We were like, well, that looks pretty legit. Let's just go in and, like, treat ourselves and get our hair done and get a haircut and whatnot. And this was 2008. I was really into Victoria Beckham's, like, short in the front.
Oh, my God.
Short in the back and longer in the front.
Yes, that signature bob. I forgot.
Yes.
What? Victoria Beckham, I feel like, used to be this big street style icon, and now she's so not in the public eye.
Well, I think that, you know, she's really trying to push her, like, serious designer side. Yeah. And I think that her style has also evolved a lot. Like, if you look at her now, she's been, like, loose cuts.
Yeah.
And she still has heels, but she wears sneakers.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
Her style
she's
evolved, too.
But,
yeah.
Okay, I know the 2008
but,
Victoria Beckham
yes,
that you're referencing.
The iconic haircut.
Yes.
And so I was like, you know, I had, like, side sweat bangs and just, like, straight long hair. And I was like, you know what, I'm going to do it because, like, YOLO. And so I walk in and I was like, Victoria Beckham, you guys know Victoria Beckham? And they were like, yeah. And I was like, great, I want the short in the back, longer in the front, and then I want to, like, side swept my bangs. But I kind of just motioned with my hands across my
face. You didn't
show
a picture?
No, I didn't show a picture. They seemed like they understood me.
Mm-hmm.
And so I sit down and she's just snipping away. The haircut looks great.
Yeah.
And then she's like, okay, close your eyes. I'm going to do your, like, bangs. And I close my eyes and she just, like, chops. And she chopped me asymmetrical bangs, too. So it was, like, shorter on my left side and about longer in the front. It looked super cool, but
yeah,
you're also just, like,
cool.
I hadn't had bangs since I was 3, maybe.
So you were like, what? And how old are you at this
I was
point?
I like, oh my gosh, 20.
Okay.
Like, never considered getting them. And I was looking in the mirror and I was like, holy crap, like, that's not what I meant. I meant, like, you know, side sweep.
Yeah.
And she's like, you know, you just, like, those look fine on you. You look good with them. Just keep it.
And then at what point did you do the, like, blonde tips?
So that was, well, I had super short hair for a long time. Like, it was ace. It was like, I kept the asymmetrical, like, front to back, but
mm-hmm.
I also had an asymmetrical, like, left and right. It was just, like,
oh, cool.
Crazy haircut for most of college, and I moved to New York, and it was getting expensive having, like, regular trims, so I grew my hair out to, like, shoulder length,
mm-hmm.
and then I was going through a phase where I was like, I really want platinum blonde hair, like, Asian girls look so cool with platinum blonde hair, I'm gonna do it, this is, like, right before everybody was getting platinum blonde
this
hair.
This is really, yeah, and it's funny because I spoke to Rachel about being a black girl and dyeing your hair platinum blonde and all of the drama.
Really,
like,
yeah.
You have, like, naturally, like, very dark hair, so it must be a very extreme process to go to blonde.
Yeah, it is. It's really damaging for your hair.
Yeah.
And so I think a lot, well, I basically sat down with my hairdresser and I was like, I want to go platinum blonde. And she was like, let's do low lights first and
see
how your hair takes to it and if you like it. And we did it and I was like, okay, this is kind of enough, I think, actually, for, like, a little while. And I'm super low maintenance
mm-hmm.
when it comes to beauty, so I also didn't want to have to do, like, constant touch-ups.
Yeah.
Like that. Like, I was like, I grew my hair out so I wouldn't have to be at the salon all the time. So,
right.
Like, why would I dye my hair blonde and have to go back every single
month? Like, every single month.
Get touched up.
Yeah.
And I'm poor, so that was just, like, not in my budget. So, I kept the low lights. And it was good because it kind of grew out.
Yeah.
Like, you don't have to get touched
mm-hmm.
up or anything like that.
And what about the black winged liner? Your other signature.
Yeah, that was also when it was when I was studying abroad too. I guess studying abroad
like
really shaped my look.
Really shaped your identity.
That was probably because I didn't wear makeup every single day until I went abroad. I don't really know why. I would just put a makeup on like anything. And I guess I studied abroad in Prague. I think also because I was like, okay, I'm in like I went to Duke, so it was in Durham, North Carolina, and I didn't
God.
Feel that much pressure to like I don't know like do myself up every day to go out and, like for the day. But, you know, like, it was, like, a new group of people I was doing at NYU, and it was in a city, so I was like, okay, well, I'm gonna, like, test out my look a little bit, and I started just putting on, like, just, like, black eyeshadow, but I have the single eyelids, so you can't
mm-hmm.
really see a lot of the makeup that I do sometimes because of the fold where the Asian eyes are.
I see.
And so I felt like as time went on, I just kept putting, like, the only thing people could really see was, like, my eyeliner. So I just kind of did that.
It just
and
came
then,
with your signature.
Yeah, and then after a while, I was like, well, I've always liked a cat eye, so I might just, like, keep doing that. And then eventually I was like, well, liquid liner just seems much more efficient, so I just did that, and now I'm just here.
Now you're just here. But it's beautiful, and it works on you, and
I think one
of the things that's great about having this, like, signature beauty look is, like, even if you're just, like, in jeans and a t-shirt, you still, like, have a look. Do you know what I mean? Like, girls that just have, whatever, long hair and are wearing neutral makeup, you've got to work a little bit harder on the outfit, but I feel like when you have the built-in style.
I admire people that have, like, that fresh kind of, like, you know, like, they just put, like, mascara on, like, a little bit of, like, whatever, and they're, like, ready to go.
But they have to have something, like, either, like, cool freckles or, like, you know,
right.
I feel like you have to have...
That makes you stand out a little bit.
A little something.
Yeah. I feel like as time has gone on, like, though, sometimes I personally feel naked without eyeliner on. Because now I'm also just used to my face looking like this, I guess.
Yes,
so you take it off, you're like, holy crap, I'm naked.
Yes.
But, so I don't think I could ever stop wearing it completely, but I do kind of envy, like, I feel like right now there's kind of this push for, like, natural, like, yes. fresh face, you know, yeah. so there, like, isn't that much stuff. So sometimes it feels a little heavy on my face.
Yeah. Honestly,
I kinda,
though.
I kind of, like, tone it down a little bit.
Yeah. But yeah. like, you know from being on shoots, the, like, no makeup look is a lot of makeup.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
It's, like.
It's a lot of makeup to make it look like there's no makeup.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Exactly. But, so, and I hate when people do this to me, so not to make you the spokesperson for your race, but the eyelid surgery. So I know, I've seen girls that have done it. I know it's, like, extremely, it's probably more popular in Asia than it is here,
yeah,
right?
I think so.
Is the idea that you want, because so, as, like, an admirer of different types of beauty, I feel like the, like, more, like, single eyelid is, like, really beautiful, and it's, like, very distinctive, and it's not, I don't know what the allure of having a crease is. Like, I just don't necessarily...
Yeah, it's so funny. I think that Asian standards of beauty versus American standards of beauty are also really funny because,
mm-hmm.
yeah, to Americans, they're like, oh, it's so different and unique. And,
mm-hmm.
like, it's like makes you seem Asian. But to Asians, I think, I mean, I don't know to what extent, like, you know, having Western features plays into it. But for sure, like, in terms of makeup, you're able to see more of the eye makeup, I think, when you do it, just because,
mm-hmm.
if, like, right now, like, if I put stuff on kind of, like, the middle of it, and I, like, lift my eye up, it kind
mm-hmm.
of just disappears, because there's no fold there.
Okay.
So, you're kind of limited in, like, well, not limited, but it just looks different the way that it rests
right.
on your eye.
Right.
So, the illusion that you're creating on the way that your light, the light hits your eye is different.
Right.
And a lot of, like, makeup tutorials and everything like that is all geared towards
right,
Western
yeah.
eyes, so
that's
if you're
so
trying
true.
To do it on your eye, it's very frustrating.
Oh, wow.
But
I've never thought about that. No, that's really interesting, because I'm, you know, as a Black woman, I think about how a lot of the marketing is for people with fair skin, and they'll
or
be like...
why are Band-Aids only one color?
Exactly,
yeah.
things like that, so I'm, like, very conscious of, you know, like, racial things, but I haven't ever even thought about, like, for an eyeshadow tutorial.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's really interesting.
I also think, like, the crease kind of does make your eye, like, pop a little bit more, makes your eye look bigger. And I think that big eyes are just, like, a thing in Asian beauty standards that, like, everyone wants big eyes, you know? So.
Yeah. Interesting. Interesting. Is it something that you would ever consider doing?
I don't think so, but,
You shouldn't do anything to your face, period. Your face is perfect.
Thank you.
Yeah, but
that's why I'm friends with you.
Yeah, no, it's like a very interesting, because I feel like every culture has their thing. So a lot of,
yeah.
like, Jewish women that have really naturally curly hair will try to straighten it, or they'll get it, or Black women will straighten their hair or do hair weaves, and then bleaching is huge in, like, some parts of Africa and the Caribbean. So I feel like every race has their, like, push towards a more Western beauty ideal. It's just, it feels, I don't know. But I think things are changing.
Yeah. I mean, it is a very, like, non-invasive surgery, I think,
mm-hmm.
out of everything, too. So I feel like it's just also because it's low risk and it's easy to do. That's why it's attractive.
Why it's, like, really popular.
I don't know. It's also kind of like, it's a domino effect, I guess. Like, you do
yes.
one small thing and then you start noticing the other small thing that you wish you could fix. And then it's just, like,
yes.
onward from there.
Spirals out of control.
Yeah.
But you, so you grew up in Indiana.
Yes.
In a very small town.
A suburb.
I've seen pictures. It looks like Pleasantville, USA. It's like...
Yeah, that's a good name for it, yeah.
It's just, like, white picket fences and, like, everyone has, like, a dog and a front yard and...
Housing associations.
Yes.
Neighborhood associations.
Yes.
Yeah.
And you, for people that can't see you, you're, like, high fat. Like, you're like the opposite of Indiana. Were you always, like, did you always feel really different from...
Growing up, I guess so. I mean, yes and no. Like, when I was pretty much the only Asian kid in my class growing up.
How many people were in your class?
Like, 25, 30.
Okay.
Like classroom,
and
then
okay.
like
yeah.
classroom. So there were maybe like one or two other Asian kids like in my grade.
Okay.
Until I went to middle school, and then there were a couple more Asian kids, and then I started to also realize there's kind of there's like a subculture, like the AZN subculture.
Wait, what is this subculture? AZN?
Yeah,
it's like cool Asians.
Kind of, yeah. I don't know. But I didn't really, like, fit in with, like, the cool Asians either, I feel like.
Wait,
so was,
I need
like,
to know more about...
weird no man's land.
Okay, wait. I need to know more about this subculture that you weren't part of, for the record, but
well,
I just...
Okay,
what is
I
it?
I can't say that I'm, like, the expert on it. But no, but I think there were just some things that, like, they were into that I wasn't as into. Like, they were really into K-pop.
Got
and,
it.
And, like, they were, like, I guess it's, like, they were, like, in tune with, like, popular culture in Asia.
I see.
And wasn't super, I mean, I feel like I grew up very Americanized just because I was pretty much the only Chinese person, but then obviously I'm first generation, so my parents are from Shanghai. So it was kind of like a give and take of like their expectations versus my expectations and even just like how parents and children should be like interacting with each other, which was interesting to observe in my American classmates. And then like on top of that, obviously it's like, okay, there is like the cultural difference, like the music that I listened to was different from the music that my classmates listened to. Like I pretty much have a period of rock music that I just have not like, been exposed to. It's my parents didn't listen to, like, 80s rock.
Right, like, Led Zeppelin, who is that? I don't
know. That was,
who?
Like, I just
what?
Had to
who?
Take on myself in high school to just, like, educate myself.
Right,
like,
same.
Using anthropology.
Same. Like, I knew all about, like, soul music and R&B. Like, I knew, because that's, my parents played Motown at home, so I knew all of that stuff. And then, people would be like, oh, the Beatles' second album. I'm like, oh.
And there's that, but then but then I met these other like Asian kids that had we had similar backgrounds, and I think some things like did, like they just understood, like they understood that I couldn't stay out late like on a Friday night or something like that, things like that they could get, but you know, like I also wasn't into K-pop and I also didn't watch anime, so I was like, you know, I was kind of like in between.
Right. Are you watching Master of None?
Yes, it's amazing. Okay. I just finished the second season. It's so good. It's better than the first season.
It really is, and I think that Aziz Ansari does such a good job of not that I'm a first-generation immigrant, like, I'm not the child of parents that have immigrated from somewhere else, but it feels like a very authentic portrayal, and I think
definitely.
He captures, like, all of these interesting little nuances.
Yes, for sure, and I think in the first season he did a really good job of, like, that weird moment when you're an adult observing your parents, like, as adults, and you're kind of like, okay, now I want to be friends with them, but, like, I also understand, like, to think that you're my age and you came to America, like, what you might have been going through, like, I feel like I sort of get that, where I didn't get that before,
but
it's like, where do we start?
Yeah.
It's a weird, huge gap. Like, I want to say thank you, but also, like, my childhood was also so hard because, like, it was so different, so,
One of the episodes in this new season about what it's like on, like, all of the dating apps as a person of color, and I know that you're out here.
Well, okay, I'm on the other side, though, because they say black women and Asian men have the hardest time.
But
on the flip side, Asian women and black men have a better time.
Yes.
So
you're, I'm in the clear.
No, I'm kidding.
No, but
it's hard for everybody, though.
I think it is hard for everyone, but it is interesting to think about, I mean, this idea that, like, fetish, you know, how certain races get fetishized, and he had that question about, like, okay, if how many Indian people is too many for you to, like, be okay with dating someone who's white?
Yeah, that's so true.
So, like, if you're on a date with a white guy or a black guy, a guy that's not Asian, and you find out that his past 7 girlfriends have been Asian, does it, like, weird you out?
Yes. A little bit, yeah.
Do you ever, like,
my
ask?
My gut is, like, yes. Well, I don't know if I've ever, you know, it's never been a thing where, like, I've been on a date with somebody and they would just be like, you know, all my girlfriends have been Asian. Like, that hasn't been a thing. I feel like in college, it wasn't, I don't know, you just, like, almost kind of knew.
Yeah.
Like,
because like
it was such a small community and you saw the guys that were just only hitting on Asian girls.
Yeah.
And so you kind of were like, okay, I think they're just, like, really into Asian girls.
Yeah.
And here you don't really have that filter because it's just a huge city and you're, like, randomly meeting other people. So I don't know, but I guess maybe people are also less obvious about it now that we're adults. And,
yeah, like, they know that
it's not,
like,
a PC thing to say. I mean, I don't know. Everyone has physical preferences.
Sure.
Yeah, it's sometimes you're just sort of like, but why?
Yes.
Like, what is so intriguing about my culture to you? And, like, also, if I'm going on a date with somebody and the first thing they want to talk about is how they love Tokyo, it's like, no.
You're like, I'm not even
not
Japanese. Oh, my God. That's so awkward. Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it's beautiful that, like, Asian women will date black men. They're both very, like, sought after. I don't understand why more black women don't date Asian men.
I don't know.
You know? I've never dated an Asian guy.
Are you watching Bachelorette at all or no? There's the first black
I watched it for
Rachel?
The first time.
Yeah.
Like,
and?
I've never been intrigued ever to watch a Bachelorette, but I was like, there's a black girl? Okay, let me see this.
Yeah.
I couldn't watch the full episode because it was just too mind-numbing, but I got the vibe. There was a really cute guy who had, like, a gap in his teeth the same way she did. I think his name was Peter.
Oh, the one from Wisconsin?
Yes. He seemed
gorgeous.
He seemed amazing. I was like, show's over. Just pick him.
Yeah,
like,
I know.
He's it.
I know. But the show is fascinating in kind of observing like
the racial, yeah,
the racial and the gender roles that are in our society. I feel like that.
Yeah, that's, and it's interesting because we always think about representation in terms of like brown people, but there's a huge lack of Asian representation in pop culture.
Yeah.
Which is unfortunate.
I realize that every Halloween when I'm trying to think of a fun pop culture reference,
and people are
literally
like,
can. And people are like, Crouching Tiger, Hidden Dragon, or some other show that from like 1980.
Be Lucy Liu. And
yeah,
like,
oh my God.
Yeah, your name's Lucy too. You're like, please stop. Oh my gosh, that's so funny. So, take me through a night out on a date. Now, you were, okay, well, this is.
How did we start an eyeliner and end up on a date?
Well, this is why I'm asking. You work at Vogue, which is a place where I would imagine you dress for women, right? The whole idea, it's a fashion.
You dress for yourself, though.
You dress for yourself, but the lens through which you're viewed is like a female gaze,
yeah,
I would say.
Yes.
And that comes across in the editorials, and I think there's like a very strong like female gaze. You're not trying to like sex it up.
It's mostly women.
Yes.
Too. Yeah.
Yes. But when you go out on a date in New York.
Right.
You want to like look hot, but then also it's interesting because guys in New York are also like fashion. Like I feel like even straight guys in New York are more fashion conscious.
Yeah, here's the thing. Like, I mean, I'm like, I know what I am. I'm 5'9". I have bangs. I am Asian. I have a not like a left, probably like a slightly less center sense of style. Mm-hmm. You know, like I'm not gonna wear a sundress every single day with cowboy boots. Like that's just not me.
Yeah.
So it's also like if you are into that, you're not going to be attracted to me.
Yes.
Nor are you going to want to be on a date with me to begin with.
Yeah.
So,
you're
like...
being your full self.
Sort of. I mean, like, I don't really have, like, a first date outfit, I guess, or anything that I really go to. But, like, I wear something that I feel comfortable
in.
Yeah,
and you have great legs, so I would imagine you would, like, show off the legs on a first date, right?
Short.
You're like, okay, something short, like, gotta show the goods.
It's leg season finally again, guys.
I know. Lucy and I are both Leos, and we're always just like, can it become our season again and be warm?
Summer.
I know.
Yeah, that's my one asset. So
okay.
You've got lots of assets.
Yeah, it's a good one to show off. Do you ever feel like because you are 5'9", that you don't want to wear heels that are too high because you don't want to...
I went through a phase in my life where I definitely did, and then I went through a phase where I was like, fuck it.
Yeah.
And also, it's kind of nice because you can, like, see above everybody and whatever. And
but
a lot of my friends were tall, so we would just all wear heels and all be, like, 6'1" together
like,
in the club.
Yeah.
But
Amazon women.
Yeah. But I will say that, like, comfort right now is just really key for me, and I do like to dance, and it's hard to dance in heels for a long time.
I
so
agree.
Now I'm all about, like, a good boot or, like, a nice sneaker.
Yes, I feel like I can't be like 100. I can't bring 100% of myself if I'm uncomfortable in any way.
Yeah, totally.
And heels are usually a big they detract from me being able to like fully enjoy myself. So
yeah, 100%.
But like guys love heels, or at least my husband loves. He loves a good high heel.
Yeah, I guess so. I mean, I guess heels like they have all those things about how, like heels make. Stand up straighter, or whatever, like how they change your posture. And I think guys appreciate when you put an effort to like look good.
Yes.
But yeah, I don't know. I also feel like I'm not really the type of person that dresses up every single day. So they are into that. Probably not the right person for them either.
Yeah, no. But I mean, it's also like you have to have some sort of sense of reality.
Yeah.
You know?
Yeah. I mean, it's tough. I appreciate when guys are understanding of heels. I will say that.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I feel like if when guys are like, oh, let's walk, and they check to see if you're wearing heels, like, that's very considerate, because I feel like that's a pain that they probably haven't really experienced, and I appreciate them looking out for that.
I know, it is very nice. So, take me through a typical morning getting ready.
Oh my god. Okay, well, it's actually really simple. I basically just, like, wash my face, put on...
What face wash do you use?
Oh my gosh, I think right now I'm using, like, St. Ives.
Okay.
Exfoliating one.
The apricot
like,
scrub?
Yeah.
I love that.
Yeah. It's a nice exfoliator. Then I got this serum at work that has been, says that
all
it like, you know.
You magazine girls
is
get free samples and I'm just so jealous. Like every single girl I interview who's at a magazine, they're like, yeah, I just got something from the beauty closet. I'm like, I don't even know what it is. It's like some Chanel something. I don't know. And I'm like, can I have it?
I do love trying new things.
Yeah.
So I've been trying out the serum. I don't know if it's really working, but, you know, it feels nice.
Okay.
It's just supposed to, like, add extra moisture when I have dry skin. And then Yeah, I literally just put on sunblock and then CC
okay,
cream,
good. I was gonna say
sunscreen
phase. Yeah. Okay.
Yeah. I forget the brand of the CC cream that I started using, but it's this like Korean Japanese label that I heard about from one of our beauty editors, and it's amazing.
Really?
Yeah. And then yeah, literally just NARS eyeliner, and then I'm done.
Oh, your eyeliner is NARS.
Yeah.
NARS has such good makeup.
Yeah.
I feel like NARS may be like, I'm trying to get more natural in the beauty products that I choose, and NARS is definitely not on the natural spectrum,
yeah.
But I think their makeup is, I love their cream concealer, I love their blush,
yeah.
I love
their
lipsticks.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah.
NARS
makeup
is like,
products.
Yeah.
I don't know. I mean, I'm honestly, this is only the second. It lasts for so long that this is only like the second NARS container that
mm-hmm.
I've ever gotten like in New York.
Yeah.
So I'm open to trying new things, but I just feel like,
yeah.
You know, it's like, while I still have this one and it's working.
Just like
going with it until
yeah.
I just continue.
I mean,
yeah.
That's really good because like they call these people like product junkies, and I've gotten better, but I definitely fall into this camp of like you just continue buying things before everything else is finished. And
yeah.
I've put like a hard stop on buying more conditioners
yeah.
and shampoos. I'm like, I will
yeah.
finish every shampoo and conditioner in my home before I ever buy.
I mean, the size of our like bathroom cabinets alone in New York
right.
kind of limits us to that.
I
but
know.
Yeah, I definitely have a drawer underneath my bed of where I just have, like, have all these products that I was like, okay, I want to eventually get to these,
yes.
but I have to like finish my stuff first. I'm just going to work through this box
yes.
and then I'm going to get new stuff.
So figuring out like your outfit, is that a whole process or you're just like,
I'm not really not a morning person, so
yeah.
my brain is probably at work at, like, 30% capacity in the morning when I'm trying
so
to, like, get all my stuff
it,
together.
Yeah.
So it's mostly, like, I check the weather, which is important
mm-hmm.
in New York, and then, like, the first thing that kind of catches my eye, like, around the appropriate weather appropriateness range, and
yeah.
then I kind of, like, put something together around that.
But there must be pressure, right? You're working at, like...
There is, but there isn't. I mean, I don't know. Here's the thing, is I feel like everybody has a look. Like, that's
yes.
for sure.
Yes,
like, I think that. And I think that's what everyone sort of appreciates. Like, there are some people that show up every single day, and they're literally just at leisure all the time.
Yeah,
but that's
their
look,
so people respect it. Got
yeah,
it.
And then you have some people that come in, and they're, like, prince on prince, or, like, you know... like amazing dresses, but it's like that's their thing.
That's
too.
Their
but
thing. You have to have
like
a look.
I feel like everyone just kind of like owns their look, but yeah, it's like Monday I wore Adidas track pants to work because it was the Tuesday after a long weekend.
Right.
I was really sore from Tone House. So.
Oh my gosh. Yeah. We need to talk about you being like fitness Barbie. I know you're super into yoga.
Fitness Barbie?
You love, what? You are. Always working out. You love yoga.
Brooke is full of lies, you guys.
You are always at yoga. You
I
like,
do love yoga.
You're like an Equinox influencer.
I was at Project Equinox for their opening.
Okay.
That was great. Yes, it was really fun.
Okay, so you did that, and then we've done Ratchet Zumba together,
yes,
and you're great
fun.
At that.
Yes.
So
you'll know real when you get it. It will say eBay Authenticity Guarantee, and you'll feel it. Maybe it's a head-turning handbag, a watch that says it all, jewelry that makes you look like a gem, sneakers and streetwear so fresh every step feels fly. When it comes to style and luxury, eBay gets it. They're making sure the things that you love are checked by experts. Not just any experts, specialized experts. Real people who love this stuff with real hands-on authentication experience. So when you see that shiny blue check mark that says authenticity guarantee, shop with confidence. Every inch, stitch, sole, and logo is verified authentic through a detailed inspection. That's how you know eBay's got your back. Because when you finally step into those sneakers, put on that watch, get your real gold glow up, swing that handbag over your shoulder, or step out in that streetwear, you'll realize that feeling is unlike any other. With eBay Authenticity Guarantee, you can trust that feeling of real is always in reach. Ensure your next purchase is the real deal. Visit ebay.com for terms.
I mean, you work out a lot.
Low-key, I guess I do work out
yeah.
really often. Well, I try to go a few times a week, but I'm not, like, I don't feel like I can go every single day like some
yeah.
people can.
Yeah.
But I really respect those people, and I hope I can get there
Oh, my God.
Day.
I mean, I had breakfast with Beau before the long weekend. He works out twice a
yes.
day.
Yes, and his body is insane.
His body's
and
insane.
He, yeah.
But he works out twice a day.
And,
I'm like...
And it's not just, like, runs. He goes to, like, Barry's boot.
Oh, yeah, yeah, yeah.
Yeah.
Soul Cycle, like, crazy.
Yeah, it's nuts.
But I can imagine that feeling amazing. Because even when
totally.
I work out, even if I work out like 6 days in a row, I'm like, can't tell me anything. I'm like on my shit.
No, I work out for that feeling like right after you're done working
yes.
out, like as you're going into the shower and you're like, yes, I
yeah.
feel great.
Yeah. 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 And you know what's really sad is like when you get out of the habit, like the quote is don't let 2 weeks become 2 months, but it can happen.
Yeah, yeah.
And when I find that when I don't work out for an extended period of time, I'm like, why do I feel so crappy and moody? And it's like, oh yeah, I haven't.
Yeah, for sure. I mean, I think you see that too in like your skin,
mm-hmm.
just like the way that, your body's moving and functioning for sure. Yeah.
yeah.
I feel like also if I don't go to yoga for like a long time sometimes, like I just feel myself like cramping up or like I'm like tension in like weird places or
yeah.
something. Yeah.
I don't know if I can ever get into yoga. I think I'm just too ADD. I just can't.
Well, there's different kinds too.
Okay. What kind of yoga do you do?
I go to Laughing Lotus. I like the vinyasa class, but I like it too because they're constantly like telling you what to do next instead
okay.
of the classes where they're like, okay, now just flow. Like they always have like something
okay.
to do and it's
so
changing
like
every 10 seconds. Cause I need it to be fast paced and it's like a really challenging workout.
So what is it like downward dog? Like,
yeah, like, well, yeah, it's
like,
one of the moves.
You can see my yoga knowledge is limited. I'm like,
that's like the
sun salutations. Yeah, I like don't know anything.
Yeah,
I just
do like some breath work and stuff.
Okay,
and, you're doing like backbends and balances, and
yeah,
so it does get difficult. I think that it's very humbling going when I first went
mm-hmm.
because I always thought of myself as like a generally flexible person.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not athletic, but like I'm generally flexible,
mm-hmm.
and I'd be doing these things and you're just like this, they make it look so easy, but like my body just, I can't even think about how my body's going to do that.
Can you do a split?
Oh no, I can't yet. No,
I'm so jealous of girls that can do full splits.
Yeah.
Cause at the Z57, there's
that's
a
crazy.
Part of the stretch is like, they're like, okay, now get into your split. And I'm just like pretty much standing
I'll
up
here.
Yeah. You guys do your thing.
Yeah. I mean, that is the crazy thing though, is that after like a few months or something, like, they'll be like, okay, now just like try to put your legs and your arms in balance. And you kind of are like, I think I might be able to do that. And you just do it and you're like, holy crap, I'm doing
do
it. Like, that's really cool.
Yeah, that sense of accomplishment. Some people, it's really actually interesting, this conversation around Instagram and how it's affecting people's self-esteem.
Mm-hmm.
Some people have had to curtail their Instagram use because they find it's like negatively impacting their self-esteem to see like pictures of like beautiful.
Right.
Perfect.
Like body FOMO almost.
Right.
Yeah.
But, working at Vogue and on social media, you're like, there's an influx
right.
of just insanely gorgeous, aspirational. Do you find that that affects you in any way, positively or negatively?
Well, I would say, like, as we curate the Instagram feed, I think that we are trying to keep diversity in mind, like diversity of body types.
That's awesome.
Races, ages. Genders, obviously,
mm-hmm.
but because that is something that, you want to be conscious of it because our audience is so international too.
Right.
And just like as an Asian American growing up in Indiana, like you want to see somebody that you can relate to.
Of course.
To, so really
of
big.
Course.
Sorry, go on.
No. I just wanted to say like how important it is that you keep that in mind because you were once a young girl looking at style.com and looking at Vogue and looking for those representations. Now to be in charge of that, I mean, how many followers does Vogue have on Instagram?
About 16 million.
16 million. So that means that the photos that you select and the stories that you're telling are impacting like millions of people. I mean, that's not a small thing.
Well, we hope.
They are.
But yeah, I mean, images are obviously very powerful and we're really closely with our visuals team. And I think that it's also like really resonating with people in some ways. Like we did a Beauty Secrets with Joan Severance, who is, I don't want to screw up her age, but she's maybe in her 60s, 50s.
Okay.
Yeah, I should double check that.
Older than your typical model.
And so she's doing her like, beauty routine and people loved it.
That
video like did really well.
It's so refreshing.
I think it's refreshing to see somebody who's older, who's still, people don't always want to see a 20-year-old model who has perfect skin because they're 20. So
right.
So it's interesting to see like people really respond to those types of content. And I think too, like now with like Ashley Graham and we're talking about different body shapes.
Ashley
body
Graham
types.
Is gorgeous.
Yes, yeah, she's beautiful. I think that, like, that's also brought that conversation to the forefront. Like, there are a lot of transgender models that are coming out and talking about beauty and gender and everything. And so it's definitely, like, top of mind all the time, I would say, for us.
That's great.
In terms of, like, personally being surrounded by it and, like, how am I impacted, I almost feel like you don't – it's, like, there's kind of this, like, stereotypically pretty face that's just, like, very symmetrical and, like, beautiful and whatever. And I almost don't really – I'm not as drawn to those anymore as I am just, like, somebody who has a really unique look.
Right.
I guess, if that makes sense.
Right.
Like, you just really start to appreciate, like, the unique flaws that everyone, not flaws, but, like,
unique
characteristics that everyone has that are a little, like, off that make their face memorable. So I feel like the models that
so
I personally admire always have, like, a little thing that just makes them interesting.
Yes.
Also, just because you're seeing so many faces every single day.
Yes.
And so, like, the ones that you remember are the ones that, like, oh, she's the one with, like, the cute nose, or, like, the one with, like, the fun hair. Like, you just, like, remember them that way.
That's really interesting. Conventional beauty almost becomes, like, wallpaper, you know? It's just...
Yeah, I mean, they're still beautiful. Like, you look at them and you're just like, man, like, I wish I could look like you. Like,
but
that's
it's
great.
It's not interesting.
I don't know. I think that... I don't know. Like, I also feel like living in New York, like, everybody here also has just, like, a very strong look. And, like I said, everyone at work has a very strong look.
Yes.
And so it's almost like I really admire people that have a look that they own that's, like, so them that nobody else can pull off.
Mm-hmm.
Like, I'll see someone. I was at Everyday People this last weekend, and there's so many people there that
Everyday People. Like, let's set this up for the listeners. If you just want to see a collection of beautiful, diverse, mostly brown people with the most amazing outfits, the most amazing hair, like, the, if you just want to feel, like, uncool to your core, like, if you just want to just, like, humble yourself, if you think you've got some sort of style, just go to an Everyday People party and just witness, right? I mean,
everyone's stunning in, like, their own unique way, and there's so many people that I'm just like, wow, like, they just pull that off so well. Like, you were born to wear that eyeliner. Like, you were born to wear that nose ring. Like, that hair is incredible. So it's just, like, I kind of just, like, admire that.
Yeah. I wonder why more people don't play with... So, Halloween is a very popular holiday, and people are like, I'm going to dress up and, like, go crazy and be different for a day, and I think maybe that's some of the appeal of Halloween, but I wonder why more people don't take risks with their look. Do you think it's that they're scared that they're going to, like, look not... I mean, I don't know. What do you think it is?
I don't know. I think that you just kind of have an idea of what you look like. And so sometimes it's shocking to see something that isn't, but like, I mean, you see a face looking back at you that isn't what you think you look like. Like, I mean, like I said, like, I got bangs on accident.
Yeah.
When I first saw myself in the mirror, I was like, whoa.
Yeah.
Like,
yeah.
I did not expect that. And then you kind of, like, got used to it and just kept it going. But I think, I mean, also it's like the life circumstances that you're in. Like, I sometimes feel like if you're in the same environment all the time and you're around the same people all the time, like, sometimes it might be hard to, like, what are you going to do? Like, all of a sudden one day just be like, I'm going to, like, do this to my face, and this is just going to be me forever. Like, it's kind of hard to make that jump.
Right.
I expect people that are like, you know, I'm just going to, like, try it out and see how it goes.
Yeah.
It's awesome, but I can see how some people are like, well, I would do this, but, like, it would be such a shock. Nobody would recognize me. Like,
right. People are used to seeing me this way.
Yeah.
Yes. That's really interesting. So, I mean, one of my takeaways is everyone should just go to Poland to reinvent their look. You want to inject your look with some, like, you know, pizzazz, just, like, go to Krakow and roll the dice, go into the first barbershop you see and do some hand movements and see how it goes and make that your look. But I think...
I mean, I do love whenever I get a haircut, I'm always just going and I'm like, just, like, do whatever you think is going to be best.
Right,
I know that I want to have bangs, but, like, I played around with the shape of my bangs. I'm just like, you know...
Yeah.
Do whatever.
One of the things that's come up for, like, black women that I've interviewed, because black women change, I mean, all women change their hair. I change my hair a lot. But one of the things that you have to deal with is going back into the office and people being like, whoa, your hair is so different. And you're like, yeah, I changed my hair.
Yeah.
Get over it. Like, don't even start asking me if it's mine. Like, just
wait, so you don't like that? Because I feel like if I do something different, I, like, want somebody to just be like, oh, you changed it. It's almost like validation a little bit.
So if I worked in, like, a fashion-y place, that would be nice. But I think a lot of it is just people that, like, aren't familiar with, like, black hair and how black... Even my own hair, if it's, like, in its, like, afro state, and then if I, like, have it blown out or straightened or stretched in any way, they're like, whoa, so how did you get your hair... And I guess it's innocent, right? They're not trying to insult
me.
They're just curious.
Yeah.
But it does sometimes feel like, oh, my
Yeah.
I can't explain this to you.
Yeah.
It's kind of like, I don't know.
Yeah. I mean, yeah, I can see how that can be tiring.
Yeah.
I almost feel like it's funny because, I mean, everybody at work, obviously we're all like aware of style.
Yes.
And I think that everybody is also very kind of like complimentary almost. Like,
yeah,
like
that must be really nice.
Like, oh, whatever. But also everyone is completely unfazed. Like, you can do whatever you want to do.
Right.
And I went to London and just like spontaneously dyed my hair blue and turkoise.
Oh my gosh. Wait,
do you remember that? I don't know if.
Yes.
No, I think I was at Vogue then.
But yeah, but
yeah,
I remember
yeah,
from pictures. Yeah.
Yeah. And a few people were like, oh, like, you dyed your
yeah,
hair, cool. Like,
yeah,
looks cool or whatever. And then a lot of people were also just like, nothing happened. Like, it was like,
yeah, you're like, guys, I have
like
blue hair.
Not fazed
yeah,
at all. Because, like, why wouldn't you dye your hair blue? Like,
right, right.
Like, okay.
Yeah, yeah. And even, like, even looking back to college, I wish that I had even done more in college. I mean, there's really no limit to when you can experiment with your
yeah,
look, but I think that it is really important to not ever feel like you can't take risks because
yeah, for sure,
it's just not that big of a deal.
Yeah. I mean, I think that a lot of times too, your look is representative of your lifestyle, if
mm,
that makes sense. Cause it's like the amount of time that we spend in like fixing our hair or like messing with the pier, like, I don't know. It's, I feel like so much of just like your routine is based on your look too.
Yes.
So changing your look actually does like very much change your daily routine in
yes,
which you might not think about. Or also sometimes like I'll be like, oh, like again, like with the platinum hair, I was like, but you know, like, I don't know if I want to do conditioning treatments every 2 weeks and have to go to the
mm-hmm,
salon. Like, it's like a lifestyle change. If
totally,
I want to do that.
Totally.
And I wasn't ready to commit to that level.
Right.
So,
right.
Yeah.
Like girls that have like the perfect blowouts, like salon ready hair. I'm
oh
like, you, I'm like, you don't work out, do you?
I went to Nashville for a bachelor party.
Oh God,
and
Nashville,
it was just a sea of like blonde, perfect blowout.
I know.
And then me. Like, what?
What is this? Let's talk about something else that really affects our beauty look as women. I'll speak for myself. You can weigh in if you choose to.
Okay.
Your period, like when it's like
yeah,
just when you just feel
yeah,
like crap, like day one or two,
yes,
like you're just like,
yes,
let me just make it through the day. I'm not trying to look cute. I'm not trying to attract any
yeah,
additional attention. And
this happens every month.
Every single month this
yeah,
happens.
Yeah.
It's remarkable how little it's talked about in women's magazines and
yeah,
beauty advice, right? But it's a week of every single month that you just don't feel particularly
yeah,
beautiful.
Well, okay, so life hack. I actually am on Lolo Estrin and on
oh
it,
gosh,
I don't get periods.
Stop! Stop it! No!
It's always a really funny conversation to have with somebody.
You don't get your period ever.
Nope, never.
What?
Yeah.
For
so
how
I,
many years?
I went, like 6 years. I went to like 4 gynecologists because it freaked me the hell out when I first get my period for like 4 months, and I was dating a guy at the time. I was like, we might be pregnant. Like, I'm gonna take
oh
some
God,
tests.
Oh my
he was freaking out slightly, actually very supportive.
Yeah, I mean, you kind of have
like,
to be. It's like,
right,
don't
he,
even.
He responded very well
okay,
to my
good,
like pregnancy scare.
Good.
Then I was like, okay, not pregnant. Then my parents were like, you might have cancer, like the
oh
whole
God,
thing. And
so you've
yeah,
had,
but
how many
yeah,
years
it's
you
totally
not had
normal,
your period?
Yeah, like 6 years.
You haven't had your period in 6 years.
Yeah.
That's the name of this episode. I'm kidding. I would never do that to you.
Basically, right?
Lucy, you don't have cramps.
Life
you don't.
Changing, yeah. Well, I was
wow,
lucky in that I didn't really. So here's my birth control story. I feel like every woman has like their final
yeah,
birth control story.
Totally.
I didn't really have a pain. I was blessed in that I didn't have like a painful period. Like, I didn't get cramps. I didn't
okay,
feel bloated.
Jealous,
whatever,
jealous,
kind
jealous,
of, like, whatever. But
jealous,
my issue
jealous,
is that it wasn't regular.
Okay.
And I think, and so it would just, and also because I didn't have any of these signs, like it would just kind of happen.
It would just sneak
and so
up
I would
on
just
you,
like all of a sudden be like, well, shit, I got my period.
Mm.
Like, which isn't a great feeling to have either. So I went on low estrin. And
is this a pill?
Yeah, it's a birth control pill.
Okay.
Yeah. And just in order to regulate my period
mm-hmm,
and like it's better to be safe, guys.
Yeah.
Don't get pregnant if
yeah,
you don't want to.
Yeah.
So, yeah, and then, it kind of gave me those symptoms. Like, I was getting cramps, and I would feel bloated,
mm-hmm,
and my period was regular, but I just hated it.
Yeah.
Yeah, you feel terrible. I was, like, eating a ton of chocolate during
yeah, yeah,
that
yeah,
time.
You
like,
just felt
like
you were always PMSing.
Yeah, I was like,
yeah,
I hate this. And then Lolo Estrin came out, which apparently is an even lower dose of it, so I was like, I'm going to try it. And
I'm calling my gynecologist
yeah,
tomorrow.
My soul. She said it happens to some people and that it's like totally normal. And I guess in the long run, I mean, it's some people like having periods. Like it's a little,
you're not pregnant. But if you're taking your birth control, then you're not.
Right. Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah.
My mind is still spinning, thinking about just not
it's
even having
pretty,
to deal with it.
I'm not gonna lie.
Oh my god. Well, I did like the IUD like physical thing, and it was the worst thing. I did the Mirena coil.
Oh,
it was the worst experience of my life.
My friend did that, and she like had to call in sick that day. Like she was in so much pain for the next like 3 days.
Oh, I was. Yeah. I had horrible pain for like 3 months. I got it taken out. I was like, I was like, I'm done. Like,
and
I surrender.
Talks about that. Like, it's crazy.
I know. I'm like, I'm scared.
It's crazy that it falls on women to have to go through this.
Well, so here's the thing. They were doing testing on male birth control, and they stopped all the studies because all of the men couldn't deal with the side effects. And they were like, oh, no. It's like, do you know what we go through?
Yeah, seriously.
It's really good to find men that are considerate and thoughtful and understand. Like, I could never be with a man that didn't understand.
Yeah. True. Yeah. Yeah. It also is weird when you're dating a guy and you're like, so I actually don't get periods. And they're like, what?
They're like, this is amazing. All days can be days where we have sex. There's just never a time this isn't on the table. That's amazing.
Yeah.
Okay. Let's talk about the beauty trends that you just absolutely hate and never want to see again. Like, what are you just over? Because you see a lot. I mean, you're surrounded by trends. You see a lot. What are you just like over? Can't take
yeah,
it anymore.
Like personally. I don't know if there are any that I really hate, but I feel like there are some that are kind of just like on the out. Like they were super popular like a year or two ago, and now they're kind of, you see it and you're like, it's a little like behind the time now.
Okay, like what?
You know, so like the, when you have like, I forget what it's called, there was like a term for it.
Nail art?
Like, well, nail art kind of. There's still some nail art that I appreciate, but there was like that one, like a ring finger. They would like do like a different color or something.
Oh, yeah.
What was that called?
Like Cal Gel Minx nail art. I don't know. Just
I can't. But it was like you would have like all the same on all your fingers,
and then
and, like,
one
finger was different.
It was like hologram, yeah.
Yeah, I don't know. Anyway, I feel like that was really big a while ago, and now when I see it, it just feels outdated almost.
Yes, it is. I agree, though.
Yeah. I don't know. It's hard to say.
You're so much nicer than
maybe.
Me. There's so many things I don't like.
Like what? Okay, give me one and maybe it'll help me think of them.
Oh, God. Literally every single one of these podcasts, I like go off on all of these things I hate. I feel like I probably just come across as like such a hater. So I just...
No.
Okay, one of the things that I really don't like is
also contouring. Sorry.
Oh, overly contoured faces?
Yes,
that's come up a lot.
I feel like that was such a look. I feel like there was, like, a time where there was, like, an Instagram face. Like, everyone had, like, the same face.
Oh, it's still going strong.
Yeah, there's, like, some people that still do that. Which is, like, you know, if that's, like, your idea of beauty for yourself, sure, fine. But I don't know. I'm just, like, kind of over it.
It's just, like, your face is divided into planes. Like, it's just...
Right.
People are doing TV makeup for everyday life.
Right. Yeah. To the, like, 90s hair, though, that's kind of coming back. Like the tiny, like the, I have these like
the little
buns.
Those are adorable. But like also I'm seeing some things that I don't want to see. Like I'm seeing like white girls like pushing their baby hairs forward with gel. And I'm like,
oh, interesting. I don't know.
I
have a distinct like backstage photo that like came into my mind when you said that. Like I remember this being like a beauty look for somebody.
Yeah.
Yeah.
And I think people are seeing that. I'm like, oh, I should do that. Yeah, I think for makeup, I think nude makeup has become very popular, but there's
okay,
a way to do it where you look like a corpse, and I'm seeing a lot of corpse faces, like people that are wearing lipstick the exact same shade as their skin.
Okay, yeah.
And I hate it, and they look dead and like not alive, and I'm just like...
So it's funny because when I was like, I mean, I never was trained in makeup or anything like that.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm.
And so basically the way that I learned how to apply makeup is I would go to like the MAC store in the mall.
Yeah.
And I was like, can you just like teach me how to
do whatever.
And actually one of the things that the lady said to me that I still remember to this day is makeup is all about how the light hits your face.
Yes,
like that's
absolutely.
Keep in mind.
Mm-hmm.
And so yeah, it's totally like, how are you like playing with the shadows on your face?
Exactly.
Like everything's the same color. Like,
yes.
How are you accenting like
yes.
that?
Yes.
Yeah, for sure.
And I
yeah.
think matte, this idea of like a matte look has become so popular and monochromatic has become so popular that I'm seeing a lot of people that just have completely dull faces and they look like ashen and sick.
On the flip side, I will say this is my kind of love, is this like powerful lip.
Well, you know that I love my blue. Yes, and it looks so cute on you. Yeah, no, I love that. I love
that. But that's definitely kind of like a man repeller trend, I feel like.
Is it?
Like,
no.
In terms of like, I don't know if somebody's going to kiss me if I'm wearing blue lipstick.
They will, because they'll get that you're cool. You know what I mean? It's like a way of signifying, like, listen, I'm cool. Yeah.
And like the Pat McGrath, like, literally lips. Love those too.
Pat McGrath is a genius.
Yeah.
She's like my ultimate. The day that I interview her for my podcast is the day I finish.
Yes,
I'll be like, guys, this is my last episode. I'm sitting here with Pat McGrath. There's no other conversation to be had. But yeah, I love the glittery lip. Tell me about the beauty products that you love, or like beauty trends that you're loving right now.
I've recently gotten more into just like wellness and self-care.
Yeah. No, but it's popular now.
Right. And I also feel like, you know, I mean, it's been a hard year for women. So I feel like a lot of girls are like, honey, treat yourself.
Yes.
Like, we all need a break. I've been doing yoga for a little bit, and I've started to try meditation a little bit too.
Oh, cool.
Which has been kind of interesting, and I feel like it's also just been, it's nice to, like, set aside, like, 30 minutes or whatever to just, like, think, almost.
Yes.
I just have, like, silence.
Yes.
I have eyelash extensions, and they are very addictive, I will say.
Because you get used to the way your face looks with them.
Yes, exactly. So that's why I was kind of, like, again, I don't know if I want to go every month to a place
to get this thing done. Yeah.
But I will say that I got them done. I went to Christian Zamora in New York.
Nice.
And, like, he showed me the mirror after, and I was just like, holy
it's
a whole new face.
It's the best, yeah.
That's something that I was curious to try, and then I tried it out, and I was like, this is amazing, and I need to, like, back away a little bit because it's going to get really addicting.
Yeah.
Like, I could see myself just going in every month to get that.
Yeah.
But I am poor, like I said.
So, okay, I have three questions for you.
Yeah.
My first question is, when you go to a treatment like that, do you just, like, drop your Vogue business card? Like, listen, guys, I'm not going to actually pay for this. Like, I feel like that's, like, why I don't work at Vogue.
It's an ultimate dick move, though.
Yeah, but I would have used it.
Then you just hear someone be like, this girl from Vogue walked in and
So you downplay it.
But there's, like, subtle moves that I feel like people will do.
That you can,
like, email from, like, a work account to, like, try to get an appointment or something.
Yeah, yeah,
you know?
Okay.
Tell people that we actually do that.
No, makes sense. That's respectful. That's fair. Okay, second question. How was it? So I love my eyelash extensions. I've done it a few times. The first week, 10 days, fabulous.
Amazing,
love
yeah.
it. But then they start falling out.
Yeah.
And then it's, like, sparse, and then you have to go back and get it filled in, and then you reach this period where you're like, I have to get these all out.
Yes.
Or get them all, because you look crazy.
Yeah.
There's a period that people don't talk about where
you
look
two
crazy.
Two long eyelashes.
Yeah, it looks crazy.
Well, thankfully I have this heavy eyeliner, so people don't really know.
I see like the backdrop.
The eyeliner is actually just to cover up the fact that I don't have eyelashes.
Oh, I see.
Like, I don't.
No, but you
eyelashes.
Do. I see.
But I don't wear mascara.
Okay.
I just wear eyeliner, and I do think that, like, there is that weird, it's like when you have that awkward length in your bangs or something
There's,
like, that weird, like, my eyelashes haven't completely fallen out yet, but they're, like, not great.
Right. And then the reason why I had to ultimately stop is because I realized that my actual own eyelashes were coming out.
Oh, really?
Yeah.
Oh, gosh.
So some of the fake ones fell out, and I saw my real lash attached to it, and I was
but
like,
that's just natural shedding, isn't it? No?
It didn't feel natural to me.
Oh,
I don't know. I started kind of just freaking out.
Yeah, I mean, I'm a little bit skeptical about, like, the health of anything where you're gluing something on top of it all the time.
Yeah.
It's the same thing as nail polish. That CC cream is actually, I need to remember the name of it. It's like Arboretorium or something like that.
Okay.
What
is going on in Korea that they're just killing it with beauty?
Skincare, especially. Actually, so I have a friend that just launched a new beauty app, so I'll plug it here, because it was super helpful, and she did help me discover a night cream that I really liked.
What's the app?
But it's called Hello Ava, and it's basically a
Ava.
Yeah.
A-V-A?
A-V-A, yeah.
Okay.
It's basically a personalized dermatologist that you text, and then you can order. So you'll say, like, hey, like, I have, like a red on my face, it doesn't look like a pimple, not sure what it is, and they'll be like, send us a picture, show it to them, and they'll be like, okay, it looks like this, like, here's, like, your prescribed treatment.
Whoa.
And then you order directly in the app, and it's actually, like, I think they say, like, 20% cheaper than, like, if you went to, like, Sephora or something like that, because they work directly with the wholesalers.
That's amazing.
And then they ship it directly to you.
What a brilliant.
So, right. So I was basically like, hey, like I'm running low on a night cream and I want to try something new. Like I want something natural, like natural products. I want something that has like, just like very moisturizing, whatever. And so they showed me like a few options, the different prices. And I was like, okay, cool. Like I want that one. And then just like shipped to me.
Wow. Hello, Ava. Hey.
Great. Yeah.
So I'm going to ask you a question that I ask all of my guests.
Okay.
When do you feel the most beautiful?
I would say, it's like, you know, like right before you go out and you like just put on your clothes, like all your favorite outfits,
yeah.
and you like did your hair and you, which for me is like showering and you like, you know, put on your makeup, like spritz your perfume and you're like, okay, I'm ready.
Yes.
I'm ready to just like take on the night and see
yeah.
where the like life takes me.
Yes.
That's like when I feel the most beautiful.
Aww.
You're just like open to potential.
Yes, yes, and it's such a like magical moment.
And you feel
moment.
Like you're like your true self. Like I'm not limited in what I'm wearing for anything or anyone.
Yes.
Like I'm just here.
Anything could happen.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, I love that answer. And that like makes me want to like get dressed up and go out.
Yeah.
Yeah. Okay. Amazing. Well, thank you so much for
thank
coming.
Thank you.
Where's my champagne glasses?
Yes. Toast.
Cheers. Thank you for the champagne.
Thanks for having me.
Of course. You have to come back.
Yes. Sounds good.
Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.